My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Isaiah is often regarded as the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and there are many good reasons why we have all 66 books and why when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found a record of all 66 books. Isaiah was a man chosen by God, through which his message of salvation, that great plan, would be revealed. And that's what Isaiah's name means, the salvation of Yahweh, which is very fitting, as many of Isaiah's prophecies are messianic. That is, they talk directly or sometimes indirectly about Jesus Christ himself, our Saviour. In John 12, verse 41, we read that Isaiah saw the glory of Christ and spoke of him. So it is good for us today to remind ourselves of what Isaiah knew about Jesus, what Jesus knew about Isaiah, and how the words of Isaiah link the entire Bible together, the old with the new. And so from these words, may each one of us go home having confidence that the words of Isaiah and those many prophecies for the future will come true. And may they renew our hope for the future that lies ahead. The ministry of Isaiah lasted for 50 to 70 years. It was a lifetime effort, and began during a time of great turmoil for the children of Israel. It was in complete disarray. It was during Isaiah's lifetime that the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes, were eventually taken away. Okay, so the Assyrians brought on God's judgment on those tribes. However, it was primarily to the nation of Judah that Isaiah's message was sent. And that's why in verse 1 of chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Isaiah had other contemporary prophets at the same time: Amos, Hosea, and Micah. And there are some similar verses when you think of what Micah had to say with what Isaiah had to say, especially about that God's purpose is to fill this earth with his knowledge and with his glory. So Isaiah's ministry began in about 740 BC. That's a long time between Isaiah's life and Christ's life. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was through a remarkable vision of the glory of God. And this is recorded for us in chapter 6. Isaiah's humble response was, "Woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So whatever Isaiah saw, it had a great impact on him, and he feared for his life. Isaiah realized that the people that he was living with, and the people of Judah, just like Israel, that they were stricken, a people laden, burdened down with iniquity. And God sought a messenger in an attempt to correct and offer a way of salvation to his people. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And with God in effect touching the lips of Isaiah, the man responded eagerly, "Here I am, send me." With God's help, may each one of us have that same attitude and the same response as Isaiah. Even though we have our failings, And even though at times we think that we're not up to the task, we've all been called and we've all been given that knowledge of the simple truth. So may we too say, "Here I am, send me." The first 12 chapters of Isaiah are directed to the Israelites and the men and women of Judah, accusing them of doing wrong, of warning them against the coming judgment of the Assyrians, the empire to the north that God would bring. At one stage, an effort was made amongst the other nations of Palestine and the Syrians to form a confederacy to stop this threat of the Assyrians. And Ahaz, the king of Judah, even sided with the Assyrians at one stage. And because of this, Judah was attacked and suffered severely as a result. And so it was a great time of turmoil. Which way was the power going to go? It was during this time that Isaiah had his children. He had two sons, and he named them appropriately. The first one was named Shir Jashub, which means "a remnant shall return." And the second one, which our children love to read, Mahal Shalhal Hashbaz. We all name our children, we give them their names for a reason. Isaiah gave his children their names for a reason. Because Mahal Shalhal Hashbaz means "the spoil speedeth, the prey hasteneth." So the meaning of Isaiah's children's names was a sign to the people around him that they were going to become prey and to be overthrown by the Assyrians, but also that a remnant would return. In chapters 13 to 23, Isaiah foretells the destiny of also the nations surrounding Israel, and even of Babylon, an empire that was even yet to be established. Amazing. And as with many of the prophets, they at many stages throughout their life would have to act out the prophecies that they were giving to the people to make them realise that what they're saying is real. And at one stage, Isaiah spent 3 years walking naked and barefoot as a sign for all to see. In chapters 36 to 39, these are great readings. Isaiah gives an accurate historical account of Sennacherib's invasion and Judah's miraculous deliverance when Hezekiah reigned as king. And if you were to choose a grand achievement of Isaiah's life, it would be this: the deliverance of Judah from the hand of the Assyrians. For it was Isaiah who advised and persuaded Hezekiah to change the nation, to turn to God, to revolt against the Assyrians and trust in the Lord Almighty. And it was through the prayers of Isaiah that his city, Jerusalem, was saved. From chapter 40 onwards, which we're reading now, to the end of the book, the style and the content changes a little bit, and there are many prophecies that are there to console the Jews with a positive future and hope, positive for us and our hope too, pointing forward to the coming salvation and work of the Messiah. Isaiah is indeed a special book. It's unique. It uses great poetry. And Isaiah is known as the messianic prophet, as we've mentioned before. And out of all the previous prophets and all the books in the Old Testament, Isaiah is referred to the most in the New Testament. Christ and the apostles often use such phrases as "that it might be fulfilled," as it's written in the book of Isaiah. So let us open our Bibles just briefly and remind ourselves of some of the verses in Isaiah that refer to our Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 9 verse 2, we read, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And we can compare this with Matthew 4, verses 14 to 17, "That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, which beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we, Gentiles, we also are just like the people of that day, that out of our darkness we have a light to follow." Isaiah 42, verses 1 and 2. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." And of course, this is speaking about Jesus, in whom God took great delight. We can read the New Testament comparison with this from Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 to 19. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, being Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence." How often do we read that, brothers and sisters? The way that Jesus went about his Father's business. "Yet great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." The way that Jesus went about his preaching is amazing. On one occasion, Christ was actually given the book of Isaiah to read from which he read and showed that the words that he was reading applied to him. The prophecies would be fulfilled in him. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "And there was delivered unto him," Jesus, "the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And so Jesus went on to explain. Just think of the impact that the verses of Isaiah would have had on Jesus' life and his attitude. Verses that reminded him that God was with him, but also those verses that would have made him realise that tough days lay ahead, with a description of the ultimate sacrifice that he would have to make. When Philip was preaching in his day, where did he turn to preach to that eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch? It's no wonder he turned to Isaiah. In Acts 8 we read, The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Very similar to the verses that we read before about Jesus didn't go down the street shouting. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture from Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. And what good news that Ethiopian man heard. Isaiah, while afraid at first, became a very bold man, and he was never afraid to express God's anger and frustration with the people. Paul the Apostle speaks of Isaiah in Romans 10, and he says, "Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Because Isaiah was not afraid to say what needed to be said, it had a great impact on the kings of his time, especially Hezekiah. And his words encouraged him to turn the nation around. And so we all in our lives must take heed to the severity of Isaiah's warnings. Ultimately, this is what the people of Judah did not do. And during the reign of the wicked king Manasseh, that's just the next generation, the people returned to idolatry. And unfortunately, because Isaiah was still bold in his approach to do God's will in opposing this rebellious king, that eventually led to his death. And from Jewish tradition, it's believed that Isaiah was seized, tied to two planks of wood, and sawn asunder, thus suffering a pretty painful death. And it could well be Isaiah that is referred to in the letter of faith in the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11 about those who have died in faith, those who have been sawn asunder. Isaiah's commitment and words of prophecy reflect how true a servant of God he really was. And God willing, he will experience what his name means, the salvation of Yahweh, in a glorious kingdom that Isaiah knew full well, that he spoke about so often, you know, about when the lamb would be at peace with the wolf. All those verses that come to our mind. A kingdom that will one day exist on this earth, when all people throughout history, like Isaiah, who have waited patiently for the salvation of God. And Isaiah 40 verse 31 encourages us all that those people who make it into God's kingdom shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They won't be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We all have an opportunity to be redeemed, brothers and sisters. And what a great thing redemption is. And that is what we remember when we think about Jesus. And what a week of readings we have ahead of us. So it's always good to have a sneak peek at the readings that are coming up. And sometimes in the house that I grew up in, my father would often say, in this reading ahead, he'd give us a bit of a sneak peek. And he'd tell us what it was going to be about. And that would help us to understand when we actually got to the reading. So let's have a sneak peek at this week's readings from Isaiah. Tomorrow, Monday, we have these sort of verses from Isaiah 51, verse 11. "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning, the things that we experience now, shall flee away. On Tuesday, Isaiah 52 verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth forth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The whole world will know who is reigning when Jesus returns. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And then on Wednesday, middle of the week, we will be reminded very clearly of both the sacrifice and the reward of Christ. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We are redeemed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. How great is that chapter, brothers and sisters? That Jesus wants to share the spoils of victory with us, for us to be redeemed, to turn to him. Therefore, let us be strong. On Thursday, we'll read further about Israel's redemption. Chapter 54, verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. How often do we remember God as our creator in our youth? The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. And I like this verse down in verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. How good will that be? And great shall be the peace of thy children. Because we all worry about how our children are going to turn out. But what an opportunity for the children of that generation to be taught of the Lord. And then on Friday, to conclude the working week, we'll read about the reversal of the curse from God's people. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." What a change God's way will make to this world. And thanks to Isaiah, we have been given an insight into what is coming. Into a kingdom ruled by a righteous king. A life that will be based on peace and rest and obedience to God. Both for Isaiah and for us too, brothers and sisters, if we continue in well-doing. If we continue to remember and appreciate what Jesus has done, as we do in the partaking of the emblems before us. But before we partake of these emblems, there is no better way to conclude than to read the shortest chapter of Isaiah, chapter 12. And when you read this chapter, don't just read it as another one of the chapters, but put yourself into this chapter, because hopefully it will be very relevant to you. Because God willing, through the grace of our Heavenly Father, may you be able to say, "O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee."